Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the conclusion of Jeremiah's first prophetic message to Judah and the beginning of his second prophetic message to both Judah and the tribes of northern Israel. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. They say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet you turn to me, says the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see. Where have you not lain with men? By the road you have sat for them, like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have been a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me? My father, you are the guide of my youth. Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 3 with some background notes. In Jeremiah chapter 2, we had Jeremiah's first prophecy of judgment concerning the kingdom of Judah. Judah was denounced for leaving her first love and forsaking the Lord, who was the fountain of living waters. Instead, Judah turned to the broken cisterns of idolatry and immorality. But these broken cisterns of the foreign pagan religions held no water. And when Judah turned to the waters of the Nile by looking to Egypt, and the waters of the Euphrates by looking to Assyria, she found nothing there to quench her spiritual thirst. Now here in the first five verses of chapter 3, Jeremiah concludes his first message by denouncing Judah as an immoral prostitute. In verse 1, Jeremiah was referring to the law in Deuteronomy chapter 24, which said that if a man divorced his wife and she married another man, the first marriage was over, even if the second husband died or divorced the woman. Read Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4 in this connection. Should Judah then expect any other treatment from God, especially when she not only left the Lord, her husband, but turned to many foreign lovers and spiritual prostitution? And remember, we said that these foreign religions involved literal sexual immorality on the high places of the land. Verse 2. Judah was like a harlot sitting by the road, soliciting clients, and she was not ashamed. Verse 3. Therefore, in accordance with the stipulations of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God had withheld the rains from the land. Verse 3. And yet Judah had the audacity to find fault with God for not being more of a father and friend to them. Verse 4. And for continuing to be angry with them. Verse 5. Judah failed to realize that God's continuing discipline was because of their continuing sin of rebellion. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 3. Doctrinal point number one, Israel and Judah turned away from God and His grace in the past. Israel and Judah turned away from God and His grace in the past. Verses 6 through 11. The Lord also said to me, in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Verse 6 begins Jeremiah's second prophetic message to Judah, and it continues all the way through chapter 6. We see in verse 6 that this message was given in the days of King Josiah of Judah. King Josiah reigned from 627 BC down to 609 BC, and we know that there was one of the great revivals in Judah's history during Josiah's reign in 621 BC. So if Jeremiah gave this message before Josiah's revival, it could have laid the groundwork and paved the way for the revival. On the other hand, we know that the revival was short-lived, and Judah soon turned back again to her sins of idolatry and immorality, which led to her captivity in Babylon. Here in these verses, the Lord reminds Judah of what happened to her sister, the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had turned away from the Lord to the idolatry of the foreign nations, including the sexual immorality of the fertility rites practiced on the high places. In his grace, God was willing to take the northern kingdom back, but she would not return. Verse 7. As a result, God gave her a certificate of divorce, as it were, and allowed her to be conquered by the Assyrians. Verse 8. In 722 BC, Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, fell to the Assyrians, and many of the people were taken into captivity. But in spite of all this, Judah, the other sister, who saw God's judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel, did not turn away from her spiritual adultery and its associated sexual immorality. In fact, she went further away from the Lord. Verses 10 and 11. Israel and Judah turned away from God and his grace in the past. Doctrinal point number 2. Israel and Judah will turn back to God and his grace in the future. Israel and Judah will turn back to God and his grace in the future. Verses 12 through 25. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they miss it, nor shall it be made any more. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. But I said, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the host of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. In these verses, we have the good news concerning the future of both northern Israel and southern Judah. Notice in verse 12 how Jeremiah was to proclaim toward the north, that is, toward the remnant left in the northern kingdom of Israel and the exiles taken captive by Assyria. Look at how the grace of God is emphasized in these verses. Verse 12, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am gracious, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. All Israel had to do was acknowledge her sin and return to the Lord. And God, as a gracious father, would bring them home. And this will take place in the future. This, of course, looks forward not to the church of today, but to the return of restored Israel in the future, leading up to the second coming of Christ. In those days, good spiritual leadership will be provided for restored Israel. Verse 15. In those days, Israel will no longer be concerned about the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 16. Because the Lord himself will be here, reigning over all nations from his throne in Jerusalem. Verse 17. And notice from verse 18 that all 12 tribes are part of restored Israel, the house of Judah and the house of Israel from the north. This truth is emphasized in other prophetic scriptures as well, Ezekiel chapter 48, for example. We know that all 12 tribes are represented in the Jewish people today because the godly of the northern tribes migrated south to be near the temple when Israel divided in 931 BC. So captives from all 12 tribes of Israel went into captivity in Babylon and returned from Babylon. So all 12 tribes are represented in the Jewish people today. And there is evidence that there may be pockets of some remnants of the 10 northern tribes still in existence today. They would have migrated for safety from the Assyrian takeover in the 8th century BC. In verses 19 and 20, we see the blessed position of restored Israel in the future, in spite of her terrible sins of spiritual adultery in the past. Their spiritual restoration will only be because of God's grace. We see in verses 21 through 25 that from the high places where idolatry with its immoral rituals had been practiced in the past, there is now weeping and prayers of repentance and acknowledgement of past sins and shame for former behavior. And the Lord in his grace will heal their faithlessness. Verse 22. Israel and Judah will turn back to God and his grace in the future. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 3. Don't look for the Ark of the Covenant based on Jeremiah 3:16. Don't look for the Ark of the Covenant based on Jeremiah 3:16. Some folks today believe the Ark of the Covenant will be found in the future based on Jeremiah 3:16. Let's read that verse once again. Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they miss it, nor shall it be made anymore. The folks that believe the Ark of the Covenant will be found in the future based on this verse, they say that the fact that restored Israel of the future no longer mentions the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when the Lord returns indicates that they were saying it before the Lord returned, and thus the Ark of the Covenant must be in Jerusalem at that time. But that argument could be turned around the other way just as easily. In other words, when the Lord returns, they stop looking for the lost Ark of the Covenant and don't even think about looking for it anymore. We don't know at this point whether the lost Ark of the Covenant is still in existence or not. But don't look for the Ark of the Covenant based on Jeremiah 3:16.